الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Honorable ulama, respected elders, brothers, mothers, sisters, beloved youth, the esteemed listeners of Radio Al-Ansar, Sirius FM, and the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, our Hafiz have read the ending of Surah Baqarah, and we all should try and learn these last two verses. These last two verses are so significant. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the last two verses of Surah Baqarah on the occasion of Mi'raj, and that is a Sahih Hadith, authentic Hadith mentioned in Sahih Muslim, and it is the longest Surah in the Noble Quran, 286 verses. And how does the surah end? When we study time, we say the past, the present, the future. So regarding the past, wa'afu anna, O beloved Allah, forgive us. Regarding the current and the present, waghfir lana, O Allah, make sattari, cover and conceal our vices and sins. Therefore in Arabic, when you wear a helmet, it's called mighfar. Mighfar means the instrument to cover. So waghfir lana in this text and context means to cover and conceal. Ya Allah, cover and conceal all our vices, all our sins. And the future, warhamna, O beloved Allah, envelope us in your mercy, is authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, اقرأ سورة البقرة, read Surah Baqarah. Therefore, when people move into a new home, new premises, we always tell them, try and read Surah Baqarah. فَإِنَّ أَخْذَهَا بَرَكَةً. When you read it, it is a source of barakah and blessing. What is the meaning of barakah? Barakah means الْأَشْيَاءُ الْقَلِيلَةُ وَالْمَنَافِعُ الْكَثِيرَةُ. You might have a small shop. You look at our forefathers, so small shop they had, but subhanallah, the children, all of them studied, they all got married, they bought cars, they went for Hajj, they went for Umrah. So it might be little and small, but the benefit is so tremendous and magnanimous. So that is the definition of barakah. فَإِنَّ أَخْذَهَا بَرَكَةً وَتَرْكَهَا حَسْرَةً. And if you don't read it, it is a source of regret and remorse. وَلَا تَسْتَطِيعُهَا الْبَطَلَ. And remember the evil, the jadu, the sihr, the hasidin. They are the people who want to cause harm to you. So Almighty Allah Jalla Ala will protect us from those people who want to cause us harm through the barakah and blessing of Surah Baqarah. So Allah Jalla Wala give us tawfiq that we read the Noble Quran abundantly. Coming to our topic, Alhamdulillah, in the past few months, I visited 6 countries. So I will tell you, inshaAllah, about each one of these countries and many, many lessons for us to learn. from all these countries, because these are countries, normally our South Africans, very few of them would visit these countries. Number one, we were in Russia, my wife and myself. We left from South Africa and then we went to Dubai. From Dubai, there's a direct flight to Moscow. It was a Thursday night. By the time we reached there was Maghrib time, Laylatul Jumu'ah. And whilst we were coming to the hotel, very nice, beautiful hotel, right in central Moscow, called the Olympic Hotel, and it's owned by Muslims, by the Turks, and in their language they call it Azimat Hotel. Nevertheless, so when we came there, we passed a huge, big masjid. So when I was checking in, I asked that lady, is the mosque open? So she said, no, it's closed, it only opens on Fridays. And that was incorrect information. Nevertheless, we read our Maghrib, our Isha, Fajr, day at the hotel. Then Jummah time I went, and it was around 12 o'clock, and I saw so many people coming from different directions. So let us inform you about Russia. Russia is that country that has approximately 150 million people. So thrice the size of South Africa, if you look at the population, approximately. If you look at the currency, it's ruble. So one US dollar, you will receive 65 ruble. And for one euro, 75 ruble. So when I landed there, mashallah, because my wife, I put her in a wheelchair. So wherever we go nowadays, because she got a little bit back problem and it suits me fine, so they give us preferential treatment and they take us out quickly also, you know. So we don't have to wait long, long queues and all. They say, come this side, I say, very good, that suits me fine. So mashallah, so they just take us, you know, from the back. So when they saw me dressed like this, my wife, hijab, niqab, I could see three, four of them. They thought we came from the Arab countries. So I just showed them our passport, South African. We belong to the BRICS group. So they said, oh, South African. I said, yes. They said, where's your return ticket? I showed them. Why you came? I said, tourism. Fine. They spoke something among themselves. We don't understand. After 5 minutes, they just stamped the passport free and no one has to pay anything. 3 months visa they give you. So that was very easy. And then we reached the hotel. Subhanallah, 150 million people in Russia, 25 million people, they are Muslim. So we're looking at 1/6 of the population, this is minimum. So that are Muslim, and 99%, 95% Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So when I entered the masjid, so I found that there were police from the government side, all of them. So because the crowd is so big, inside they have Muslim security, outside they have from the government side. In South Africa, if you know statistics and you make a survey, plus minus we have 1,000 masajid in South Africa. We don't have a single masjid like that masjid in the whole of South Africa. In the heart of Moscow, you know, last year was the World Cup. So because of all that they were planning, so they built this masjid, mashallah, 5 stories. And at the bottom, basement for the ladies, then ground floor, and then another 3 floors. By the time I went, the masjid was 3/4 full already. Azan had not gone. And no, sorry, when I just entered, Azan just started. Nevertheless, so when I entered, I couldn't see the imam, so I saw one Pakistani there, I could make out from his dress, and said that, bhai, imam sahab nazar nahi aa rahe, wo kaha hai imam sahab? Say, nahi, upar jao, upar jao. So I went on top, subhanallah, so there I could see the imam, long mimbar. You see, your people's here 3, so just multiply 8 times about 6 or so, 17, 18 steps, very long. So mashallah, when I went inside the masjid, immaculate condition, and everybody silent. Not like our masjid, somebody's Hollywood playing, someone's Bollywood playing, someone's Robin Hood tune playing. So everybody silent, masjid immaculate condition, and subhanallah, then after the adhan, he delivered a lecture in Russian. Obviously we don't understand what he said, but I was just looking and observing. So after that, the khutbah and salat, khutbah also in the Russian language. I'm just giving you a report back. We don't agree with that, but nevertheless, this is what happened there. How many people in the masjid, brothers, for Jummah Salat? 15,000 to 20,000 people for Jummah. Inside the masjid, outside the masjid, the area all cordoned off. Eidul Fitr, Eidul Adha, 220,000 to 250,000 people for each salah. Now where we get crowd letters? Biggest istima'i we get is 50,000, 60,000, not more than that. So you must remember that this is what we saw our own eyes. The masjid is packed. Now I don't know anybody. So I said, let me wait outside. We read sunnah, and that they went out. So I asked one, two brothers, you know English? They say small. And when they say small, I say, this chip can help me. When they say small, you know. It's like you ask the brothers, you know, Arabic, doing shuiya, and after it they fled, you know. So I waited, then one brother came. So I asked him, brother, you know, he said, yes. And he spoke good English. I asked him, what's your name? He said, Zafar. I said, Zafar, I'm from South Africa. I need somebody just to show me around. He said, you came all the way just to visit? I said, yes. So he said, wait. He made 2-3 calls and he canceled his appointments. He said, fine. Whole afternoon, evening is for you. Let's start. What you want to do? See, Allah Ta'ala's help comes, you know, always. We did 2 rakat salat, we ask Allah. So brother Zafar came. I told him, let me get my wife. From the hotel today is 5 minutes. So walking distance. So mashallah, so in the masjid on the 3rd floor, if you go to Moscow, so book in this hotel. I'm not getting a cut or commission, it's just for you. So you must remember that is convenient for you. So in that way there you can go for your 5 daily salat and so forth. On the 3rd floor they have a museum. And subhanallah, you will see all Quran Sharifs. And when you go there you will find a miniature model of the masjid itself also. Very, very impressive, mashallah. Then he took us, I told him, no, we don't eat all this, we'll have just vegetarian and so forth. He took us to the Kremlin, to the Red Square, and here and there, some gardens and what. So we're not used to all this walking and all that long distances. So I told him, now, you know what, my wife is worth. Let us just go to one shop here, market here, let her do some shopping. I got enough rubles, I changed already. So women, they like shopping, you know. So I'm not going to... Somebody sent me the clip the other time. He said that, Biwi chalti hai notes se. You know what I'm saying? The wife, she will walk nicely when you spend the notes on her. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, all this happens. So it was very clean, very green. I was very impressed with Moscow. Then, 1-2 things I asked him. And you know, I got one book also. See, brothers, for us to learn. You just go outside our beloved country, South Africa. Now also I witnessed it. I was coming, I went to Reservoir Hill, somebody passed away in our family. I just went to sympathize. So while driving, it's me and my wife, nobody else. So these guys just stopped there, they opened their fire brigade and they start, you know. So New South Africa, kullu halal, you can make fire brigade anywhere. You know, understood? And this type of thing. See, in Russia, they got a law. You know, when we were very young, they used to say people go to Russia for their vodka and alcohol. Now, all that is haram for us, we don't know. But in Moscow, they got a law. No one is allowed to drink alcohol in public. You can't be walking in the street and drinking all that. You want to drink, for them I'm speaking about, just to show you how much law order there is. The people want to drink, they must go there to the pub, to the bar, or wherever, or to the house. They can't cause public disturbance. And you can't believe how clean, how green that place is. So a lot of, you know, order, and everybody respects the law and the traffic. The traffic from the airport to the hotel took us 2.5 hours. So much traffic. Nevertheless, cut long story short, so after that I told him, fine. Then we came back, read Asr, Maghrib, Isha. So I told him, next morning, give me all your contacts, I'll keep contact with you and so forth. So we left then, that was now Friday. Saturday we left for St. Petersburg. These are the 2 main cities tourists go to. So it's just an internal flight, domestic flight. So when we came there, they were waiting for us, you know, the guide and all of that. So they took us to the hotel, no problem, everything easy, everything was booked and paid for. The lady there, her name is Maryam. So when she told me her name is Maryam, I asked her, "You Muslim?" She said, "No." It's Ajib, these people are Russians, they're communists, but they love the name Maryam. So I gave some da'wat, I told her, "Sister, you know in our holy book, the Quran Kareem, Maryam is mentioned 34 times. And Surah Maryam is chapter 19 of the Noble Quran. And Maryam means Abida, one who worships Almighty Allah Jalla Allah. So you must think about Islam, you know." So they just smile and laugh and what have you. So in that way, you can do a lot of da'wat individually and so forth. Nobody will harass you or so. All the time we were dressed like that. In fact, they respect us so much. In St. Petersburg, three things you must learn, brothers. They have one book there for tourists. They have a masjid there. And we went there Asr time. 110 years old, that masjid. So mashallah, some old masajid they have. So we read Asr Salat there. Then again, I am looking for somebody who will take us around. I asked this person, they say, small. So I said, "This small character." Then I asked one chap, he was sitting there in the corner, he was reading. So I asked him, "You know English?" He spoke very good. So another Muslim who I asked previously came to whisper in my ear. He said, Laysa bi Muslim. So this person you're speaking to is not Muslim. I asked him, "You, what religion you follow?" He said, "Yes, he was a Christian, but he's fed up with Christianity, now he's studying Islam." So I told him, "Ala khabirin sakatta." You came to the right person now. Leave all this now, close your book, start firing up. I give you private Q&A. Whatever you want to ask, by you ask. Leave what I wanted from you, now you ask me. So he asked about 3-4 questions, I gave him the answer. I said, "No, ask." He said, "No, that's all." So he got very happy and very impressed. So I told him, "Now you have to do one job for me." So he said, "What?" I said, "I believe there's 1-2 places to see here." He said, "Yes, but you have to come 12 o'clock at night." I said, "See, me, I can't come anywhere. I don't know the language. I don't know anything. You must come to my hotel. Here's the card. All your taxi, everything, I'll pay for it." And then I said, "It's a good opportunity to speak to him more about Islam and so forth." See, my brothers, sisters, esteemed listeners of Sirius FM, Radio Lansar, and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wa Jama'ah. How Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala preserves the deen. Don't think for a moment that me and you are preserving the deen. No. Allah gives us the opportunity, show that you can make some khidmat of deen and serve the deen. 2-3 incidents quickly I give you. Number one, if you know Russian history, Lenin died in 1924. 2-3 months before Lenin died, he signed a decree. And he said, "You see, in that vault there, in that safe, there is one book. And that book does not belong to us, the Russians. It belongs to the Muslims. You must give it back to the Muslims." Lenin dies, his history. Subhanallah, they honored his word and they took that book out, Quran Sharif, I'll explain to you just now, and then they gave it to the authorities there in Uzbekistan. I'll come back to it just now, inshallah. So that is one very important thing. Second thing, this youngster came 12 o'clock at night, up past 12 around there. So we went, it's Saturday night. And lot of tourists and that, you know, he made some, everything I paid for now, taxi and all the things. So you go there in the heart of St. Petersburg. Subhanallah, there are 9 streams, 9 rivers going. And engineering genius at his best. The road is flat. So they cordon off both sides from 12:30 at night. And then you will see the road going up. Up like this, and both facing the sky. Now you start wondering how these people manage that. So when they finish with this one, after 10 minutes, the next one, then the next one, like that, 9 bridges, they all open up. So I told my wife, you know, I said, "Fatima, if this was in South Africa, one chap should have definitely stole one of the electric things there or something, and the whole thing should fall down." You know? South Africa, bunch of chores we are now, from top to bottom. You know, make busasa and uksasa and everything, you know, understand? See, brothers, how much effort they made. The world comes to St. Petersburg and you have to go there 12 o'clock at night. So I told him, my brother, we got Fajr Salat. I got no time for 9. So I saw one, come, we're going back. Where you stay? He said, I live just there. I said, very good. This is the money I gave him. You know, spoke about Islam and I gave him all my email and everything. So see, brothers, for dunya, how much effort they must have made for this thing there. So alhamdulillah, then we went to, from there flew to Uzbekistan, from St. Petersburg. So when we came to the airport, St. Petersburg, I told my wife, because when we left the hotel, still Salat time was not in. So when we came to the airport, I told my wife, see, it's Salat time. And by the time we reach Uzbekistan, we don't know whether it will still be Salat. Let's read Salat here, at the airport. Now this is Russia, St. Petersburg. So I went to the one brother, I asked him, there is no prayer facilities here. He said, no. So I told my wife, let's read Salat in full view of everybody. Let the cameras all focus on us. We see what happens. So I read Salat, she read Salat. Nobody said anything. So I said, alhamdulillah. So why must we be apologetic about Islam? Why must we compromise always? So you got your cameras, everything, your secret surveillance and what have you. But we're not doing anything. We asked you. You didn't give us any facilities, so we read Salat, Ju'ilat liyal ardu masjidan wa tahura. One of the miracles of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can read Salat anywhere, so you must remember as long as it's park and clean. So at the airport we read, nobody asked us any questions, many of them were looking at us and so forth. Now again, wheelchair story, Uzbek Airlines. So when we go through, so Fatima in a wheelchair, myself, so we the first two passengers in the plane. So when I saw that seats, I asked that lady for who this plane is. I think only for Chinese passengers. So she could see that I'm being sarcastic. I said, you see my size and look at the seats. How you expect me I must sit here? She just said, we'll sort it out just now. So I said, all right. So everybody, we were the first two people to come in. Then after about 10-15 minutes, she came back to me, the same lady. You see, I got two seats, and nice ones, extra leg room, everything. Nobody want to sit there. I say, why nobody want to sit there? She said, the TV is not working there. So I said, very good, that's the seats I want. We don't want only shaitan in front of us, you see. So alhamdulillah, we sat there, and now nicely everything. And they love rice, you know, Uzbeks. So mashallah, they gave us rice and all that. So now we see Muslim country. Muslim, you must know, today, Muslim means chaos, disorganized. That Muslim, today's Muslim. Russia, communist country, everything up to date. Organized, well arranged, everything. Now we flew to Tashkent. Here I see many ulama here. You studied Usulu Shashi. Shashi Moana Ismail, you must remember, is Tashkent. So Shash was the old name, and Tashkent is the new name. Like St. Petersburg, the old name was Leningrad, and then they changed it to St. Petersburg in 91 or something. Anyway, the point I'm making here is this. So imagine the Hanafi ulama in those days already, 1,000 years ago, they were the headquarters. So we landed there, it's Fajr time. We landed in the capital of Uzbekistan, Tashkent. Old name, Shash. We come there, we're waiting in a queue. I saw some people behind me. I asked them, from where you are? They said, Thailand. I said, what you waiting for? He said, visa. Visa is on arrival. You must pay $50 per person. So that's not the point. We know we have to pay. But I asked them, where's the person here? It's an airport. It's not a barber shop, this. So he said, no, he's coming. After 15 minutes, he came, he's rubbing his eye. I asked him, you sleeping? He said, yeah. He said, hey, Muslim country. Yeah. So airport also, the chap will go sleep and make us all wait. And said, upside down, you know. So I knew Muslim. We got no organization. Everything we do is chaos. Just hit and run, you know. And so I told the one chap there, I said, you need to get a bit more organized. You know, we tourists. We just come here, we already get fed up of you. You understand? You take our $50 and this is how you treat us. I mean, that's not right. So anyway, so then we read Fajr Salat there. I remember Fajr we read there at the airport. Then they were waiting for us, they had the board and all that. This is Tashkent. Remember the Quran Sharif I told you about? Subhanallah. Then the guide was there. Allah, I told him, no, we're very tired. You come afterwards. After come after Zohar or so. So he came. Then we went. This is Tashkent. We had two nights there. First place we go is the main museum. Subhanallah. When you go to the main museum, they show you this, show you that, show you that. When you go inside, you will find the Quranic ayat, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidun. Verily we reveal this Quran Sharif piecemeal gradually, and we, Allah uses the word we to stamp His authority. We are the one who preserve it, protecting no addition, no omission. You see, in this gathering here, there will be 10-20 huffaz. So subhanallah, 1 million, 2 million, 5 million huffaz we got throughout the whole world. And you see, you ask the Jews that show me one of your rabbis who can read the Torah in the original language, the same Torah that was revealed to Nabi Musa alayhi salam. They'll tell you, you anti-Semite. Go to the Christian and ask them, ask the Pope that read that Injil, the Bible that was revealed to Nabi Isa alayhi salam in the original language. And the original Injil, they'll tell you there's no hope for the Pope. We can give you 1 million people. Oh, in South Africa alone, we can give you many thousands of them. Male, female, adult and children. Alhamdulillah, it's Allah's fadl. So this is a miracle. Now when you go there, there's police, there's cameras, everything. Subhanallah, that was the Quran that Lenin and them had in the vault. You know what they got, brothers? Is that Quran Sharif. It's a Friday. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala was fasting. And the enemies came and they murdered Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu an. Zunnurain, the only person in the history of humanity, from Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam's time, right up to Sayyiduna wa Habibuna wa Shafi'una Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam's time, he married two daughters of the same Nabi, one after the other. No one has this distinction. No one will ever have this distinction. Zunnurain radiallahu ta'ala an, Sayyidina Uthman Amirul Mu'mineen, was married to Sayyida Ruqayya radiallahu anha. And thereafter he married the other daughter of the master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Umme Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala anha. So imagine. Whilst he was reading Quran, the enemies came, Naila, his wife radiallahu anha, she tried to defend and they cut her fingers, and then they came to him and they murdered him, martyred him, the blood gushed out, oozed out and fell on the Quran Sharif. That Quran Sharif, the original copy, UNESCO certificate is there, the bloodstains are there. So you will find in Tashkent, and it came from St. Petersburg to Tashkent. See, Allah. How Almighty Allah preserved the Kalami Ilahi, the Quran Sharif. So many places you will find miracles. Anyway, we went to various masajid. On the whole, very, very disappointing Uzbekistan. If you study the history of it, if you study Hanafi fiqh, then there are books written, the ulama of Ma Wara Un-Nahar. Ma Wara Un-Nahar means Darya-e Jayhun, the Jayhun River. So you will find it starts somewhere else and it comes right to Tashkent, and that we could see it also. So remember that big, big madrasas, darulums, but today all change into small, small shops. They're selling souvenirs, they're selling woodwork, they're selling some other garments and fabrics. And on top was the hostel, and at the bottom was the darasgah, the classes. Today nothing left of all that. So when you see all this, your heart bleeds. Uzbekistan got freedom and independence on the 1st of September 1991. And I was there September 2018. So 27 years had passed. My driver, guide, I would ask them, how many things you'll know about Islam? Yet one chap say, I know two surahs. Other one say four surahs, like that. So the masjid, all old people you will find. You hardly find youngsters in it. Because now they got freedom, so from the Soviet Union. So you ask them, what you're doing? You say, we're building our democracy. See, this freedom, democracy, like South Africa. So it was so much apartheid, inhumane system, the pendulum went from one side to the other side. So now do what you want to do. So you got 10-year-old girls giving birth, freedom. So now you got AIDS pandemic, freedom. How are you going to solve it? Give everybody a condom. See, this is Satanism, how Shaitan works. زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالُهُ. You go to your people's airport here, you just go inside. Many times I go just to make wudu or something. So at the bottom I'm speaking about, you'll see they got big box there, please take one condom. Airport. I saw it myself how many times. So you must remember that this is how the Shaitan, he beautifies all the vices. So this is what's happening into our Muslim country, where the Hanafi fiqh had reached its pinnacle, you must remember, in those days. So this is something very, very great. You must remember this. So if you study the history, but when we go there now, you will hardly find ulama, hardly find hufas and so forth. Nevertheless, I visited one madrasa in Tashkent, and then I asked them what you are studying. They said, Mishkat Sharif. I was so happy. So I said, where's your ustad? They said, no, it's break. I said, very good, sit down, I'll give you the dars. They were excited. So I taught them in Arabic and all that, about 15, 20 minutes or so. So then one, two teachers came, we met them and so forth. So that was something at least. Then the next day we went by train from there to Bukhara. The trains are very good in Uzbekistan. 200 kilos per hour they go and so forth. Very good. And they leave on time, arrive on time. When we came there to Bukhara, I had so much high hopes and aspiration. So the guide was there with the board, Mr. Hussein, and they took us to the hotel. And then, two, three things of Bukhara we should know. Number one is, outside Bukhara, about 10, 15 kilometers, there is a Sheikh, Waliullah, Sheikh Bahauddin Naqshbandi. So subhanallah, when you go there, you will find a beautiful masjid. On the other side, they have for ladies, they have a Darul Uloom Madrasa. So I went there, met the students. So there the teachers were there. So I told them, no, mashallah, what you're teaching, all this we teach in South Africa. And I myself, I thought, she said, no, teach us. So then I gave them one, two suggestions also. So subhanallah, there also we had to teach some hadith and tafsir and all that to the students in the Arabic language. So all Allah's fazl, Allah's mercy and so forth. When you come back to Bukhara, things are very, very sad there. Majority of the people in Bukhara nowadays, they speak the Farsi language, the Persian language. So if you want to get across to a person, the easiest way is you speak to him in his mother tongue, a language that he understands. So the Iranian regime and them have exploited this to their benefit. And they filling, you must remember, Bukhara with their literature and all these type of things. So that was a bit of a very concerning and disappointing to me. And you know, the people also very relaxed regarding Salat and Islam and so forth. You will hardly find some activities going on. Masjid, maybe about 20, 30 people. Big masjid like yours here, five times the size. You look at the minaret, you look at the gumbad, the domes, all that, subhanallah. You can make out from those days, and everyone got the history. But now currently, remember, it was very sad. From there, then after two nights we spent there, we went to Samarkand. This was Bukhara, we went to Samarkand. Subhanallah, Samarkand was very interesting. When we went there, it was Thursday night, Friday morning, I told him, he must come, the guide, so we went. Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, is buried 20 kilometers out of Samarkand in a place called Khartan. Imam Bukhari is Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith. You, my honorable mothers and sisters in Islam, you should take motivation, inspiration from this. There are two verdicts among the scholars of Hadith, the Muhaddisin. Some of them say Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, lost his eyesight at a very, very tender young age. Others say that he was like born almost like blind and so forth. Nevertheless, whatever it is, the mother, you have a son and paragon of beauty, but he can't see. She cried, she wept, she begged and beseeched Allah. Lo and behold, after some years, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam came in the mother of Bukhari's dream and said, go to your son and see him, that Allah gave him basarat and basirat. Allah gave him sight and insight. He became Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith. The Russians, pay attention brothers, the Russians, when Uzbekistan, all that was under their command and authority and sovereignty. So everybody wants to take credit, everybody makes propaganda. So when they did excavations and they saw Amirul Mu'mineen, Imam Muhammad bin Ismail al-Bukhari's grave, and remember his body is intact, what they did? They closed it up, made a small time mausoleum, mazar, and they wrote a plaque there, a notice there. The person buried in this grave is a great communist leader. The person buried here is a great communist leader. Astaghfirullah. What Imam Bukhari got to do with your satanic system of communism? Now, alhamdulillah, with Uzbekistan, they wrote everything correct. So when we entered, something I found strange there. So I went with my wife and the driver and the taxi, the driver and the guide. So when we went there, I asked them, what time Salat, Azan, or I said, 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock or so. So I said, fine. So Imam Bukhari, the Mullah, is buried that side. I went there, I told my wife to go on the other side. So anyway, I went there, read Surah Yasin, everything, made a lot of dua, and we even think Allah Jalla Wala daily for all this, that we go to such places, we get motivated and inspired. And when I was in Bukhara, I forgot to mention, Subhanallah, we came down for breakfast. I found 20, 25 of ulama or people from Pakistan. I studied in Pakistan, so I know. So I asked them, Aap Hazrat, he said, yeah, hum aaye hain Pakistan se 40 ulama aur baz khuddam aur ye. About 45 of them came. So I said, Subhanallah, watchable program, you see, Nashta, Pir Rasta. The last day, I'm entering and they going away. So I said, Amir sahab kaun hai? Who's the? They said, one great alim, 90 years old. I said, where is he? He said, no, his other hotel is coming. So I said, okay, I'll wait. So mashallah, we went to meet him, everything. So from Pakistan, they have one flight a week from Lahore to Tashkent. So they come that one Wednesday and they spend 1 week there in Bukhara, Samarkand, Tashkent. And then the next week, the next Wednesday, they go back. So many people are coming in now. So anyway, day by Imam Bukhari's grave and Mazar Mubarak, you find for us foreigners, everybody wants to make money. You know? Money is sweeter than honey. So when you come in, so you find that the Uzbeks, they put them one side. Okay, you free. Or you stand us. And then now you must pay. You must pay in dollars or you pay in their money, whatever it is. So to go to read Jummah Salat, you must pay. To go to Imam Bukhari's grave, you must pay. See, money spinner. So that's how the Muslims, I told you Muslims. So if you leave it free, more people should come. Anyway, so after that, came to the masjid, the Imam Sahib was lecturing something in Uzbek, we don't understand. Thereafter, now see how pathetic the situation is. Nevertheless, that the khutbah was in Arabic, Salat, everything fine. I went to meet the Imam and so forth. Now we're going back. So my wife is with me and they are in front. I asked the driver and the guide that Imam was speaking something. What he spoke? He said, we don't know. What you mean you don't know? I asked him, you read Salat? He said, no. I asked him, you don't read Jummah Salat? He said, no. The driver said, I never had a shower. I didn't bath. I was very upset. I asked the other brother, you read? He said, no. He said, I never read Salat in my life. I don't even know one surah. I asked him, there were more brothers inside the masjid or outside the masjid? He said, outside the masjid is more than inside. Now can you imagine, Imam Bukhari is buried there. This is the masjid and majority of the brothers are not reading Jummah Salat, leave other Salat. So this is with our own eyes we experience all this. So very, very sad, make dua, more and more jamaat should go. In my whole trip there, I found two people who are hafiz. One of them still got contact with me, he sends emails and so forth. Children, I used to ask them, read Surah Fatiha, read Surah Inna Atina. Nothing, just. So very, very sad, remember. This is Allah's system. Allah gives deen. When people don't make qadr, they don't appreciate, Allah snatches it away. Deen, Islam is very independent. Don't need me, don't need you. Allah has a system, we must understand. Thereafter we went for Umrah and we came back, then we went to South Korea and Japan. Let's tell you about South Korea and Japan. MashaAllah, when we landed in Seoul, so my wife and myself were the first people. First time in my life I experienced this. So they took out one gadget and they put by us, you know. So I asked them, it's only for us? He said, no, it's for everybody. So I asked, what's this? He said, no, we just check your temperature. I said, oh. So I say, say my temperature is high, what happens? He said, you go to quarantine. I said, no, we're okay, don't worry. So this type of thing. So Alhamdulillah. Quick, 1-2 seconds only. It's very, very well organized. The Amir Sahib of the Tabligh Jamaat, Haji Muhammad, brother Muhammad Ilyas, I told him, Hazrat Mohana Ilyas, Nawarullah, Marqadahun, ne kaam shuru kiya, aur aap Muhammad Ilyas. He is from Bangladesh, mashallah, more than 30, 35 years doing work of Dawah. So he took us, another brother Munawar, from there to the airport, and everything, he put us in the hotel, Isha Salat was finished, so we had to read Maghrib there at the airport. Nevertheless, then he told me, see, tomorrow morning, there's 6 o'clock, Fajr time starts. So, quarter to 6, some brothers will come. When we checked in that hotel, so I had to pay, obviously. So, all that was done. So, that lady there told me, if you want earplugs, you must tell us, we'll give it to you free of charge. So, I was wondering why she told me that. Then my wife and myself, we had, you know, whatever, a little bit food and everything. We had meals. We had Isha Salat. Now that area there is all the clubs and all the action things, Saturday night. Whole night right through. But we were so tired we slept. When I came out, quarter to 6 they came, so I came down, we went. So I'm in the center, one on the right, one on the left. The amount of women, the amount of men, wine, dine and swine going on. Lucky these two brothers with me, they're dancing outside like this, half drunk, they'll fall on you also. You know? It's like a red light area, you know. So I'm wondering, how come they put me here this place? But the Markaz is the nearest there, 5 minutes, you take a walk, subhanAllah, we just walk up, big masjid. The biggest masjid in the whole of South Korea, in Seoul. When the war took place, South Korea and North Korea, the Turks were there and they were siding with South Korea. So they told them that our army is here, we want masjid. So they gave them that land, they put up a beautiful masjid. So we reached there about 5-6 or so. So they said, nee, Amir Sahib ka kamra yaha hai. So we went. Amir Sahib said, see, you must do the following. He's telling me. Just now Fajr Azan will go. Then we go inside. We read our sunnahs. Then you must make imamat. I must make imamat. So I said, I don't make it. He said, no, you make it. I said, all right. Then he said, then you must give talk. First Arabic, then Urdu. First Arabic, then English, then Urdu. ऐसे ही सब सुनते रहते उर्दू के तो उर्दू आखिर में रखो. When we entered the masjid in Sunday morning in South Korea, I found more than 100 people like you know, more than your previous crowd here. I said, these people didn't come for my bayan. So I asked him, yes sir. He said, no, we have Shab Guzari Saturday night, so therefore we told them to stay, so they stayed, and now that's why we want you must speak to them. I said, Alhamdulillah, very good. So Alhamdulillah, we carried on right till Ishraq, and then we read Ishraq and so forth, first Arabic, then English, then Urdu. So many brothers from there, Indonesia, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Africa. One person even asked me, you know Muhammad Qahtani? I said, you know him? I said, yeah. I said, from where you come? He said, from Gambia. He said, Maulana, he come there. He was very excited, you know. Lucky he didn't ask me why I don't come there. So you must remember. So anyway, I said, no, we know Mohana very well, Alhamdulillah. So all this happened there. Then I told Amir Sahib, your hotel you put me, it's a lot of old noise there, you know, I want to tell him other things. He said, no, I know all that, but it's near. I said, but now it's not munasib for me to stay, not suitable. So about 10 past 10, we moved to another hotel. SubhanAllah, second hotel, we just walk across the street, another masjid there. Whole South Korea, about 24 masajid they have. And very mashallah, everything very good. South Africans, no question asked, they stamp your, they don't even stamp your passport, they give you a card, they just stamp it, 1 month visa, free of charge. No questions asked. So Alhamdulillah, we had program after Zohar there, then we went a little bit shopping and what they got Amir Sahib. And thereafter, after Maghrib, another program. University came and they said they want program. If you read the Muslim Woman, you know magazine Muslim Woman,
You will find all about South Korea there. The whole report is there. Very interesting, you must read it. The latest one now came out is on Japan. So you will find there all. So anyway, then we went to university. We gave a talk there, everything. All mostly Pakistani students and that. Then next day we went to the airport. Amir Sahib took us. It was Fajr time. We read Fajr Salat at the airport. Now we left for Japan. When we came to Japan, so Japan we have to take out visa from here. So anyway, then everybody goes through for me and my wife, one side. So we know now. Say, Mr. Hussain, for what you came? Very polite, very humble, very courteous. For what you came here? I say, tourism. Say, you don't know? I said, no. Nothing else. I said, no. Say, okay. You say, no, we're going to check your bags. So I had two big bags and two small ones because we winter there. So I said, take it. No. So after 5 minutes, 8 minutes, 10 minutes, they brought the bag. I said, take the two small ones also. He said, laughing. I said, no, take it. I said, no, it's all right. So one student of mine is there, Moana Umair. His mother is Japanese. Father is Pakistani. So he was waiting for us. See quickly, I tell you about Japan, 4 or 5 things, brothers. You'll be motivated, inspired, inshallah. Yay in Ispingo. I'm married in Ispingo, my sister and all of them are yay. You see, yay Ispingo, Durban, KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. What we did. If you travel in the bullet train, which is one of the best trains in the world, subhanallah, they made arrangements for us. See, Japanese. How meticulous, particular. I told you, they 100%, they take pride. Muslim, yeah, Chalta, yeah, mix up. No pride, no nothing. No, do your duty with beauty. We don't have this. Carry on like animals, you know. Understand? So you must remember, so see the pride they have in their work. I never saw people like this. I spent 4 or 5 days there. So anyway, in that bullet train you go, 300 kilometers per hour is moving. Now you want to go bathroom. Subhanallah, they got high toilet and they got low toilet. Eastern and Western, and they got water also for you. The Japanese thought of us, Muslims. But today's Muslim, he'll take the Eastern toilet and throw it right out. And he'll sit on the Western toilet, something will go down, something will go up. And then come read the mass. And say, me bilkul park. You park. Think properly. I remember that nicely. So you must, second thing. You see, I want to buy this glass. So when you pay there, we go to the, you know, in Makkah, Medina, they had it 5 riyal shop, 10 riyal, khamsa, khamsa, ashara, ashara. So in Japan, if you go, they got this, they got some name, I forget it. They in South Korea, to say thank you, they say khamsa hamida. So the one person told me, you know, sami Allah, li hamida, just put khamsa in front. I said, oh, very good. So anytime we go, they do something, I say khamsa hamida. So, right, top. So, at least this guy, he learned one word like this. Khamsa hamida, thank you. So I say, oh, it's 5 times thank you. You see? So anyway, so these people, I learned 1-2 words Japanese, I forgot also. So anyway, these people here, yeah, now you got this 100 yen shop. 100 yen that time was 12 rand, 13 rand our money. So my wife used to like that. Go, oh, yeah, I just stand there outside, you know, small shops. And the big malls you go, subhanAllah, you don't find one paper on the street also. So what they do, that when you pay, you put the money in a tray. And when they give you the change, they put it also in the tray. No physical contact with the person. So I told my wife, if South Africa we have to do this, they'll take the tray and they'll take the money away. You understand? So alhamdulillah, it was Monday we came there. Monday, yeah. So I asked this Umair Maulana, I said, what the, he said, no, Monday we'll, I said, very good. See, from the airport, we went in the bus. In the bus, we went in the train. In the train, we had to walk to our, not hotel, he took an apartment. Japan, Tokyo, everything compact. If you want parking just for your car parking can cost you 10-15 thousand rand a month, just for the parking of your car. It's like that. So from here till there is our apartment, there is the fridge, there is the resting kitchen, this is the bedroom, this is your lounge. Everything from here to there. You go to the bathroom, you must bend down also, you know. Everything for short people. Like, you know? So I see these people here. So anyway, all that happened. Tuesday night, we had program in a Turkish masjid. Wednesday night, we had program there in an Indonesian masjid. He translate everything, Mawla Umair. Thursday night, listen to this. Subhanallah, we go. So we went a bit early. So this Umair, his father was there also. So he's from Pakistan and the wife is Japanese. So we went there. I found a heaps class, 10 students, 5 boys, 5 girls, all children, nabaligh. I said, mashallah, in Tokyo you got heaps class. I said, and now I tested them, read, subhanallah, all read well. Then after Maghrib, we start giving talk and all that, more and more brothers, then Q&A, this, that. Then I met one brother, Harun. Listen to his story, brothers. Harun told me, you heard of a person called Atu? I said, no, I never heard of Atu. Say, Atu is my father-in-law, his father-in-law. They say, Atu is the world famous, most famous person in the world as far as art goes. He's 86, 87 years old now. He said, make dua, cry to Allah. Just Thursday night, I remember, Laylatul Jumu'ah. He said that his mother-in-law, in her 80s, she embraced Islam, and after 2 years, 3 years, then she passed away with Islam. He said, Atu's daughter, his wife, her name also Fatima, she embraced Islam, and today, when I was there, she's 16 Supara Hafiza of the Noble Quran. How many of our wives know 16 Jews? Two sons, one 18 Jews, one 20 Jews, Hafiz of Quran. They become Islam. He told me that, see, that how this family are making effort among the local and indigenous people there in Japan. His wife is calling the Japanese ladies, come here, I'll teach you Islam, not what you see on your TV and all this distorted picture of Islam. This is the deen of Allah. Another brother came, he told me, I want to explain to you how Dawat and Tabligh started. When Dawat Tabligh started, you should know this. You all live in Spingo. Bhai Mota Haji Bhai Padia in 62, he went for Hajj. He met Hazrat Mohana Yusuf Sahib Nawar Allah Marqadahu, and that is how Dawat started here, South Africa, 62, early 60s. You go to Japan, subhanallah, if you go, just see, let the Fazail Salat bring. So you will see this one person, Muhammad Arshad, and so he translated the Fazail Salat. He's an engineer from Pakistan. His company sent him to Japan because now he's a good engineer. When he went there, he saw everything haywire, mixed up. He at that time no email and fax and all that, well, WhatsApp. He wrote a letter to Raiwin, say, please send Jamaat immediately. So the Jamaat, that time Haji Gulzar and them were in charge, Rahimahullah. So they came with Jamaat. They made effort here, there, everywhere. So some Japanese brothers, just open Fazail Salat. So remember that when they made effort there, now time came to go back. You know in Memon, you say Mita, so sweet. So this person's name Umar Mehta, but Japanese, M-E-T-A. He also went 40 days. So see, here's it here. This is different edition. If you see the old ones, you will see that it was translated by Abdul Rashid Arshad. His name is written there. This is some new one, new copy this. If you get the old copies, you will see he's the person that he was there. He was instrumental. So anyway, the point I'm making here is this. So Umar Mehta went with them. 1956, 57 around there, 56. 40 days became 4 months, 4 months became 9 months. Brothers, what he did in the 9 months? He, in Pakistan, in Jamaat, he translated the entire Quran Sharif in Japanese language. The first person, first Muslim to translate the Quran in the Japanese language. Non-Muslim translated but many errors. He's first Muslim. He did it while he was in Jamaat. 1956. Then that Friday in Mona Umair's Masjid, we had Jummah and all that, so he translated. So again, from there to go to airport, 3 hours, 3.5 hours. Tokyo, the traffic, you can't believe. You understand? We had to stop also for Asr Salat, I remember. Because by the time we reach airport, time will be out. So, very, very good, very, very. The people, you can't believe how humble they are. They see us, they love bowing down, you know. So, some of them, they can bow down in front of you. You see, this man here, it must be some buzruk or something. Imagine. So, non-Muslim. You understood? So, it's haram, you can't do that. But just out of love, nobody takes the nation with self-respect. I found some people, you know, they push Fatima in the airport, yeah. I hear the end, they don't take. South Africa, they'll take both ends, why? Halmi Masjid, bring more. Understand? See, so therefore, next year is Olympics there. So to Tokyo 2020, you go to the taxi, before you just stand, the taxi door open itself. What gadgets they got there, you can't believe, you know. So you won't find a piece of paper. You go on the escalator, everything tartib. Everybody stands on the left-hand side. No one on the right. Only if you want to overtake, then you go on the right-hand side. See how disciplined they are. No mix-up and all this. Very, very. No one wears shoes in the house. When I went there, they say, hey, put shoes outside. I said, oh yeah, I forgot now. You know, so, you see, how many things they got of Islam? So I was very, very impressed with them. So, when I came back, I phoned the embassy. So, because they made me write 1-2 letters and that. So I spoke to the secretary. I said, tell Mr. Ambassador, I love Japan. Next time I go, we must give me my visa quickly. You understand? Because they give me my visa late, 1-2 days before. She started laughing. I said, tell Mr. Ambassador, yeah. So he said, no, maybe I go make trouble. I said, what trouble we make with tourists? You understand? And so it was very good, alhamdulillah. Then the last two countries, we went to Thailand, now in January, and then to Vietnam. So I got 15 minutes still. So mashallah, when we went to Thailand, so my one student, he studied in South Africa. He studied here in Marisburg. So Madrasa Noor, so the blind. Mona Islah. So he blind, he's Hafiz, he's Qari, he's Alim. So he heard I'm coming, so he flew 1-2 hours, you know, by plane, and he came. So mashallah, we landed there also quick. Some students came, they took us to the hotel, Miras Hotel. Why Miras Hotel? The father, Dada passed away, they collected millions. They say, let's build a smart hotel, you understand, for Muslims, like, you know. So mashallah, very nice. So then, that day there, in the morning, we were tired, so we rested. So Mona Islah and him were all there. They came, so all time, we said, come. First, they took me to a HIFS class, madrasa, 97 students there. 3-4 teachers, all with white kurta, turban, mostly izar, and then some of them got lungi, like our basa, Hafiz Basa, he liked lungi also. So they wear lungi, you see. So I said, mashallah. Then I gave them talk, all that. Then after that, we went to the appas. They got the Rawdatul Atfal, 500 students there, 50 appas teaching. So gave them a talk, everything, told them that your main function here, you are the spiritual mother of these students. Don't only make ta'aleem, you have to make tarbiyah also. You have to teach them the manners, the morals, the akhlaq of a Muslim. That is the greatest gift that Islam, a mother, father can give the children. Today, who bothers about that? This morning, Fajr time, I called one brother, our family. I told him, how much time you spend with your children? Ma nahala walidun nahlan ahsana min adabin hasan. Hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. The greatest gift you can give is give good character to your children. They must know what is right and wrong. Today we buy their love. They just make noise, take 1,000 and go. Understand? Make noise, they say, take this golf and go play. Make big noise, take this car and go play. So we just buy their love. We don't give them the love. Therefore they rebel against us. Therefore they turn against us. The same child will put you in the old age home. Remember that. Because we never shared anything with him. We just bought everything. So how many just go to your old age home here and see? I've been there so many times. They're crying, they're cursing their children. From good homes. So remember this kind of thing. Third, then we went to Darul Uloom for girls, Darul Uloom for boys and so forth. That was Wednesday. Thursday, mashallah, we went Mona Ridwan. This is a story you must listen. Not because I'm Maimon or something. What is the truth we must speak? There's a family there, Maimon family. The old man, they call him Babu Bhai. His name Ghulam Muhammad, 82 years old. Born in India, young boy came to Pakistan. Now he's there in Thailand 50, 60 years. When he reached the age of 40, he took his keys, everything, gave it to his sons, said, you run the business. You know what business? Jewelry business, big factory, more than 1,000 people working there. He said, me, I'm going now Merkaz, and now I dedicate my life to Dawat and Tabligh. Whole Merkaz, he pays for everything. His son, Maridwan, he studied in Zakaria. 6 years he spent there. He got girls' money. So I say, who's running? You. They say, mujhe porter jo paisa. With my own money I run. That was Thursday. Then we went to another Darul Uloom and then shopping and all that. Friday, we went to Iqra school. Another brother, Babu Bhai's son, Junaid. He's running a school, Iqra school. More than 1,100 students. Islamic school, Muslim school, whatever you want to call. I didn't meet him, I just spoke to him on the phone. Who pays here? He said, they pay. One family running all this with their own money. We will do. Ask yourself. Jiska zarf bara ho, Allah inko bara bana deta. I told somebody the story the other day. I was 20 years in Newcastle. So one day I went to the masjid, town masjid. So I saw this one brother, India Pakistani brother. So there, I don't know if they still got it. They had one lilla box, you know. So he's putting something inside, they want to pull it out. So I said, bhai, kya kar raha hai? He said, nahi, asal mein mujhe 2 ren dena tha, lekin wo 5 ren andar chala gaya. He wanted to put 2 ren, but 5 ren went inside. He said, main koshish kar raha ho, 5 ren ko nikalo. So this is our mentality. You see? I said, bhai, Allah Ta'ala ne dekha, tum itne bakhil ho, to bajaye 2 ke 5 chala gaya. Chhod do, abhi aao is taraf. So anyway, I'm trying to tell you how we are and how Allah gave them. Subhanallah. See how they're running. Then Jummah time, I met Babu Bhai. I met Haji Abdul Qadir. If you go to Thailand, Bangkok, you must meet these two people. Haji Abdul Qadir, his 3 daughters all studied Yeh, Girls Madrasa, Mufti Ismail Madrasa. And all Alima, son-in-laws, Alim, sons, Alim, mashallah, all that. And then Babu Bhai, I told you his story. From there, then after Jummah, I lecture all. Then I flew to Ho Chi Minh. Ho Chi Minh is capital of Vietnam. So subhanallah, when we come there, I said, let me just go and see. What's this Vietnam? Vietnam got 98 million people plus. I tell you, a small country, more, almost double South Africa. So the money there, those of you who know Maimon, they call it dong. So when I was very young, I don't want to go to school, madrasa. So my mother tell me, dong kare to, they're pretending. See, dong means, I just heard that word, I started laughing. I said, it's a nice name. And how much? One US dollar, you get 33,000 dong. You understand? For one US dollar. So I gave 100, I told Fatima, you take half, I keep half, we both millionaires. You understand? So, at least we feel nice, we become millionaires, you know? So when we come there, this way, that way, they say, no, all of you, you sit here, whole lot. I say, all right. Then they call your name. Master Abdul Qadir Hussain. Then they say, all right. Pay $25, they told us. So I gave $50, 25 for me, 25 for Fatima. Then 1 month visa, and you go. The students were waiting there. Subhanallah, from Darul Uloom Zakaria, I also teach a little bit sometimes, the students, you know. So you must remember, I'm not part of the madrasa or anything, just. So anyway, you must remember. So they make ustad. So 2 students came, Maulana Zulkifil and Maulana Muhammad Ali. So anyway, they came there. They took me to the hotel, everything. Nice 5-star hotel. And I told them I'll stay there, no problem. New Saigon Hotel. So this is now Friday night. So we went, everything. I said, let's explain to me this whole area. What's going on here? They say, Vietnam, 98 million people, 70,000 Muslims. 70,000 Muslims is Kench Kirkar, you know. They're pulling it to maximum. Anybody's name is Ahmad, Muhammad, Fatima, Muslim. So whether they got this belief, so must be about 50,000. 50,000 is 100 million almost. I asked, how many masjids in madrasa are Darul Ulama, Musalla? They say 74. I said, what you doing? So I said, fine, what are we doing tomorrow? Anybody goes, I just go tourism. You want to go to lecture in Vietnam, you can't lecture. First stop, police station. You must register. You can't stay in the masjid, you can't stay in the house. Give every day itinerary, where are you going to lecture, what is your topic, Tabligh Jamaat Kam, first stop police station. Where are you going to stay, you must stay in the hotel. Where are you going, you must write down where you're going to have program. So like that it works. It's communist country, but very safe everything. So I say I'm going touring, no lecture. So subhanAllah, Saturday they say, we're in Ho Chi Minh, that's Saigon. I'll tell you just now why they kept Ho Chi Minh. So the old name Saigon. So we go to Kuchiman. So once you have given a lecture here Wednesday night, you see, what they say, for how are you there in Vietnam? I said, I forgot. He said, no, the capital is Ho Chi Minh, and you went to Kuchiman. So I thought maybe they say Man Man. You understand? Because everything Man 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 something. So anyway, we went there. Kuchiman is 2 hours drive. So we left about 10 o'clock or something. SubhanAllah, before we enter, I see a restaurant there, Kamaluddin or something. I say, who's this? You see, my friend. I say, let's go. So we go there, he got a small room, we read Salat, everything there is our time. So you want to give, I say, no, let us go there, when we come back, we'll read Asr, and then we have lunch, and then we go. So we agreed that. When we went inside, you buy ticket and all that. See, quickly, no time. Americans came to Vietnam, and they lost the war. They had to put their tails between their legs and run. That is America. How they have to run now from Afghanistan, if you know what's really happening in the world. So anyway, official statistics, 58,000 Americans died in the Vietnamese, and Vietnamese lost 3 million people. Aerial bombardment, women, children, civilians get killed. This person, who's our guide, he participated. He showed us how they beat the Americans. You say, see here, this was like the epicenter. You say, see here, walk, you will think it's grass. You see, they used to walk. They fall right down, and we put spikes for them inside. They stuck, they can't come out. They get injured, or they die, finish. They got tunnels everywhere. The guy with us, there were some tourists also. You see, go inside this tunnel, you come out that side. He told me, go inside. I told my wife, I'll get stuck just now. Leave me, where I'm going to go to the tunnel and all this thing. So the guys, they go from this side, they come out that side and all this kind of thing. That's one simple thing he showed us. He said, see the sandals I'm wearing. It's made of tire. Now you know tire got threads. He say in the sandals, we used to put it upside down. So when we walk, if we walk right, the Americans think we walk left, because the thread is going this way. You understand? So that is how they used to deceive the Americans. Al-harbu khuda, so deception of the enemy, survival of the shrewdest. Nabi alayhi salam said that. So you must remember these things here. So what a courageous nation. But today you go and see, now is all everything Western and all that. So this is Afghanistan, what they have done. Quickly, I give you one incident. Abdul Salam Daif. You know Abdul Salam Daif? When Taliban were in power in Afghanistan, he was the ambassador of Taliban in Pakistan. After 9/11, Parvez Musharraf and them, the Munafiq, what they did, they were selling the Pakistanis to America, collecting millions and thousands of dollars. They took him, Abdul Salam Daif, and they handed him to the Americans. They took him, they stripped him naked. Yesterday, ambassador, today, enemy stripped naked. They sent him straight Guantanamo Bay. Now what? Today, when they had meeting in Qatar, they met in Moscow, met here. One of the people negotiating America's surrender. Withdrawal means surrender. How they have to pack up and go? Who's sitting there? Abdul Salam Daif is sitting. Don't sell Islam. Don't sell Islam. Don't compromise. Allah will always be with us, provided we are sincere, devoted, dedicated. Abdul Salam's story, go read. So you will find it there. So my brothers, understand what is happening in the world. So when I came out from there, I felt so motivated. I said, Ya Allah, these people, if they had Iman, and what they do. So I told these youngsters, whatever you want, we will help you. They said, we need this, mashallah. I already got one family here from Durban. They say, we're going to Vietnam. They gave them the list and put them. I said, go take to this person and take whatever they need. So see, Allah will choose anybody to preserve the deen and propagate the deen. So subhanAllah, Sunday we came, no, Saturday night we came, I told him, I want to read Salat in a masjid. Thailand, Vietnam, you don't find any masjid with carpets. They don't, all the masjid, only marbles and tiles. 4 months, 3 months, monsoon they have. So hot, they say they can't. So when we came there near the Sheraton, you will forget the masjid, you won't forget Sheraton. So the Sheraton Hotel in Ho Chi Minh, Saigon became Ho Chi Minh in 76. 75 is the year of victory. 76 Saigon became Ho Chi Minh. Why? Because Ho Chi Minh was their president. He was beloved to them. That he defeated the Americans and so forth and played a great role. So therefore they kept the name Ho Chi Minh and so forth. So next to Sheraton is a masjid built by an Indian, 1935. That masjid got carpets. It got a house. You know, in India, Pakistan, it got a pond. So I said, after long, let me go make wuzu in the pond and you know, think of our Karachi days and all. So then I asked them, he said, in India, Chacha, he passed away or whatever. So then the next day, there the hotel I had to check out. Then I said, I must do one program from Vietnam. I'm sitting in Vietnam and Hafiz Wadi is sitting in Durban and our brother Dawood Montley and Hafiz Basa and them all are here and they doing the engineering, subhanAllah, and 2 hour program from there we did. So they told me, program you can do, but you can't lecture. I said, well, Maghrib, they 5 hours ahead. Maghrib time came, we went to the masjid, another hotel near the airport. So I just sat in a corner, so that Maulana, he came, we see the people, say, you must make imamat. I said, but I'm not allowed, is it? He said, no, imamat you can make, but you mustn't make speak anything. I said, I don't want to put you all. He said, no, no, you make. So I made imamat, and then after Maghrib, I just turned around, made dua. I just stood up, they all come, start kissing my hand, and you think the Imam Shah of the Haram Sharif came, you know. So this type of thing. So my last message to all of you, brothers, sisters, go to Thailand, go to Vietnam, go to all these places, and go see what the Muslims are doing. Subhanallah. In their limited resources, what were things? That one student told me, since he qualified, 2 students in Vietnam already became Hafiz by him. So far as somebody become Hafiz, nah, it's okay. There is very big thing, brothers. So make dua, Allah Ta'ala accept all of us. Allah Ta'ala protect the Haramain Sharifain, Masjid al-Aqsa. All these brothers, sisters, they all trying to do something. Allah Ta'ala keep us with the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And let us die with the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Wa akhiru da'awana, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Now azan will go inshallah. Isha is opposite. Hafazit Isha Yazan. Jazakallah khair to all the listeners of Radio Al Ansar, Sirius FM, and Markaz Sahaba. Barakallah fiqh. We leave you now. This is the last program on air. Tomorrow, inshallah, Q&A from 2 to 4. You can all listen to that, inshallah. 2 to 4 o'clock on Radio Al Ansar, Sirius FM, and inshallah on Markaz Sahaba. Barakallah fiqhum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.